Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
The Corolla Drinks Wine Club is back, offering you the best deals on 3, 6, and 12 packs of Mangria. Aside from discounts on each and every bottle, with a 3-pack, you'll get a custom actual chicken shit ticket signed by the Ace Man himself. With a 6-pack, you'll get the signed ticket, plus an exclusive shirt with every shipment only available to Wine Club members. We'll kick it off with the Ace Man's definitive Taco Rankings t-shirt designed by Corolla on paper. And with the 12-pack, you'll get the ticket, 3 custom shirts, plus a special invitation for you and a guest to the Corolla Family Summer Barbecue, held at our studio and hosted by Lynette and Adam. You'll eat incredible food, meet Adam, Brian, Gina, myself, and the lackeys, and get a tour of the ACS studio. Plus, you'll get to see each and every one of Ace's cars, including the magical 935. It all goes down June 22nd and is only for you beautiful 12-pack members. So head to CorollaDrinks.com and pick your tier today. From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, the creators of epic rap battles of history, Peter Shukoff and Lloyd Ahlquist. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and RJ Bell calls in for RJ's parlay. And now, in his heart of hearts, he knows what he knows. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. A church with a mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for sharing. I love that about you. Find someone you know and turn them onto the pod as we turn the corner to a decade. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
Hey, and Ball Brian. Yeah, man. It is. It's raining hard out there. Thunder, lightning,
house shaking.
Or as the rest of the country calls it, weather.
Right.
Weather. Yeah, we're having weather. I'm having a very rare cold.
This one's fighting to the death.
It's well, the reason my stuff hangs out longer than it overstays its welcome is because I have no alteration to my lifestyle or schedule when I get sick. I simply just get up and go do 1,000 things, sick or not. So I just have to kind of deal with it. I feel, yeah, maybe if I had a little chicken soup and a little bed rest, I could probably knock 36 hours off it.
But I was going to say, do you remedy at all? Like in terms of besides, you know, Kleenex or whatever.
Well, so what I did is, I'm still going in the freezing cold pool every morning.
No!
Which I don't think has anything to do with it.
You're going
to
catch a colder.
Right. So I am getting up and going in the pool every morning. I do not alter my schedule at all. I just get up early and go do a bunch of stuff. I'm just slightly miserable about it. And last night...
DayQuil, anything?
I did get into some of the NyQuil last night because, just coughing and nose blowing and everything. I feel very self-conscious to Lynette. I hate it when you're sleeping next to someone and they're hacking away all night. So I did that last night. But no, I don't do anything other than just sort of basically ride it out.
Are you one of those people, I am, who can tell immediately when there's about to be a cold, like my throat starts to tickle. You know what I mean? Like, that's it. There's a cold coming. Like, I know it's going to be here in 12 hours
or whatever. Yeah, but you can sort of reverse course. Like, I don't think emergency or any of that stuff works. It doesn't work for me. Mm-hmm. But if I get, you know, 9 hours of sleep that night and start pounding water, I can usually steer it away. Because both of you are sick and I'm fine.
Back to the question.
How dare you? Yes, I feel a little tickling coming on and then there's nothing.
Could be anecdotal, could be psychosomatic, but I have a great track record over the last few years. As soon as you feel that cold coming on, the second you're like, oh, that's a cold. I know what that is. Zinc. I do zinc, and I have not had a bad cold in 5 years. They've all been kind of dulled.
It's the new vitamin C.
It works for me.
I was thinking about my stupid mom talking about like blasting everything with mega doses of vitamin C, like in the 70s. Like, you gotta eat 15 oranges. You got to go down on Anita Bryant. Like, it was just
oranges.
She was a spokesperson. They would just keep pounding you and pounding. Like, you got to blast it. There's a lot of that today. I lived it all in the 70s. There's just a lot of like, what you got to do is you got to take that vitamin C and you got to suffocate that cold with vitamin C. Yeah. Like, you just mega dose. And then, like, you just sit there at, 12 going, okay. But there was nothing. I don't know. Was there ever? You can file it under many of the things that my mom and many of her hippie friends knew for certain
in their
hearts in 1974 that science has not proved at all.
I am prepared for many tweets from people sending me studies from the Mayo Clinic, like, oh, zinc does nothing. That may be true. I know what I know. No, I do know that it's dulled 5 years worth of colds, and I can only say try it.
Well, I have heard zinc, and Max Apata can look it up, I don't think vitamin C is proven to be anything.
Does, yeah.
But somehow, I grew up to the beat of that drum. All right, I want to thank BetDSI.com, enter Super Adam, and I'll tell you about that. Stamps.com, enter Adam, and I will. So somebody tweeted me. Somebody, I don't know, sitting around last night, again, I had a little NyQuil. Somebody tweeted me out, I guess Nate tweeted out like a little trailer for Not Taco Bell, my stand-up special.
That. Social media.
Yep.
And then somebody tweeted out to me, why not go the Netflix route?
Because it's coming to theaters soon, in theaters, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and so they said, why not do the Netflix? Why not sell it to Netflix? All right, so I'll tell you why, and I'll tell you how it worked. Also, in the annals of, boys, it's not been easy keeping up my New Year's resolution to go out and do stand-up. It's been like I've been sick. We've been days where I went to Vegas. We've been days when I've had to do 6 podcasts that day and then go over the hill and meet in Century City or whatever. And I shall go out tonight. I shall keep to my appointed rounds. Yeah.
Lots of zinc material.
But I must say,
I am
4 weeks into my New Year's resolution of going out and doing stand-up, and every week has presented a challenge, like a location challenge, a way too much work challenge. Now it's a 4 podcast day with a cold attached to it, raining, blah, blah, blah. I'm committed. And understand, everybody, if you are going to make a New Year's resolution, it shall always go this way. Week number one, it turned out to be a 6 podcast day with a trip over to Century City. Week number two, it ended up being, Kimmel's having a party that night. Okay, make it Wednesday and go to Vegas and whatever. Week number three was, you're going to Irvine that night and doing a show with David Zucker, in which case I said, I'll just do the 20 before. Like, there has been a pretty solid excuse, I should say. Not a reason, but a real excuse of me going, I got a ton of podcasts to do today. I got a cold. I'm moving. I'm like in the middle of moving. I'm not going to go out and do stand-up for free tonight. Mm-hmm. Just a bunch of stuff.
Not convenient.
And I am sort of resolute to do it.
But how much do you like this person? The universe is testing you. The universe doesn't make it easy, does it?
No, it doesn't. I like to shoot the universe in the tuchus. RJ Bell calling in from Atlanta. Oh. And then I shall tell you about why no Netflix and why we're going to do it for ourselves. RJ, you on line 3 there?
How you doing, Adam? You want some advice about your New Year's resolution?
Yes.
Okay, when you're feeling low, when you're feeling like you can't do it, put on the Vision Quest song.
Oh.
Lunatic Fringe. And think about Shoot and the tree trunk. Remember he's walking. And just think that's who you got to rattle. And then you'll go from there.
Didn't Madonna have a song in that movie as well?
Oh, yes, she did. She was in the club playing, remember? That was awesome.
I'm ashamed to say I've never seen Vision Quest.
Neither
even though
I.
There's a lot of rope skipping in it.
Okay. You got your homework.
Okay. I got movies from Brian. I got movies from RJ Bell.
You got stand-up to do?
I got stand-up to do. Vision Quest is one of those sort of, I mean, it's sort of Rocky-esque, right? Like training montage.
I guarantee you, you're going to come back the day after you see it and talk about it for about 40 minutes on the pod.
That was, Madonna was in that movie, and what's his name?
Dennis Quaid?
No, what's his nose?
Matthew Modine.
Matthew Modine was in that movie, and he played like a high school wrestler.
Yep.
Uh-oh.
And it's all about like just him training and being relentless with his training and throwing himself around the mat and skipping. I think there's a rope skipping thing, but Madonna had a hit in this thing.
What year is this?
85.
Well, here's the key, right? He was the champion at his weight class. And then going into his senior year, he said, I'm going down a weight class to wrestle the best wrestler in the state. And the whole movie is his vision quest to achieve that. Now look at you. You're one of the best, if not the best podcaster. Now you're saying, I want to do something else.
I need a vision quest.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's skipping rope. Ooh.
Please tell me Daphne Zuniga was the girlfriend.
It's a 25-year-old Linda Fiorentino.
Yeah.
Ooh. Oh, yeah.
Come on.
That is solid as Sears. All right. So the big game is coming up on Sunday. You're in Atlanta. What's it like in Atlanta right now? Which way is the wind blowing with the gambling community? Rams, Pats?
Well, I tell you, the line opened up, Rams favored by one. And literally within an hour, it was Patriots favored by 2.5. So the odds makers were thinking close game, you know, very close coin flip, Rams a slight favorite, and the money just poured in on the Pats, and it's continued. We're looking at 70-75% of the money so far on the Patriots, and the real question is, does this game go to 3 or not?
Right. Does the line move to 3 from 2.5? It seems like right now,
exactly.
Patriots, so if the Patriots win, they'll win by field goal, and that makes sense. Like if someone said Pats win by field goal, you go, perfect.
Sure.
That's how it works every single what in all their Super Bowl victories, well,
they've all been close, one score games. Yeah, RJ?
Yeah, they've all, I mean, what's the average in a five, what do they have, five?
Eight games, five wins.
No, but wins. Yeah. And the five wins, the combined score is like 15. I mean, if you add it all up, it's not much more than that, is it?
You could make the case the Patriots could be 8-0 in these Super Bowls, and they could be 1-7. The only game that was a clear win was the Eagles with McNabb, you might remember.
Right.
And here's an amazing stat that really makes a point about how close these games have been. So Brady and Belichick, 8 Super Bowls. There's been 9 fourth quarter or overtime lead changes in those games. In all other Super Bowls, there's been 10 fourth quarter or overtime lead changes.
Insane.
So literally about half of the exciting last quarter lead changes have been in Brady Belichick Super Bowls.
Well, maybe, God, I was watching the end of the Atlanta Super Bowl, Falcons, not the one that's taking place in Atlanta. Sometimes you just have to watch those things again. It's like, and you can relive them. You just pick it up. Like, the Atlanta has an 8-point lead, and they have the ball on the 22.
Late in the game,
And there's 4 minutes left. Yeah. And it's like, all right, it's first down. It's like, well, they could just run 3 plays in the line, kick a field goal, have an 11-point lead, give them the ball back with 3 minutes and 21 seconds, and they need 2 scores, and good luck, and this game is over. And then they show them, like, what happens after that? It's like, oh, they do a running play. They lose 2 yards. Okay, well, they're still in field goal range. Now Matt and Matty Matt's back. Oh, he takes a sack. Like, oh, my God, he took a sack. No. Still in field goal range.
At that point?
Yeah, their kicker had a big leg. And it's like, all right, well, they went from the 22 to the 31, but he's like still in field goal range. Then the next play, it's like, completes a 14-yard out. Okay. He just completed a pass. Holding. Holding. Right, it's kicked them back again. Now they're out of field goal range.
I remember they ended the drive out of field goal range.
And you're like, oh, my God. Yeah. Okay. All right. Fine. They're still... All right, the Patriots still have to get the ball, and they still have to go literally like 92 yards, and then
convert,
yep. And then win a coin toss, and then go all the way to yes, they shall do all
and
those
all
things.
That happened.
It all just happened.
Well, imagine if they had lost that game, which obviously, I mean, you're talking about the end, but they were down 28-3, so you know they were like 95% chance to lose that game, the Patriots. And then remember the Seattle game they won. Seattle was down on the 2-yard line, and it was probably 80% Seattle at that point to win that game. If they had lost those two games, the Patriots would be about 15 years since they had won a Super Bowl. How different would the narrative be?
Yeah. So with that in mind, never bet against the Pats, and I guess that's what Vegas is doing. How's the temperature in Atlanta? Like, what? I don't know. What are the smart guys talking about? What do they think?
Well, I think it's more Patriots. I like the Patriots, too. I mean, there's a couple prop bets, and I'll give one that I really like. But my sense is, and we actually on our radio show just interviewed Hines Ward, right? So two Super Bowls, MVP. And I asked him a question. How different is the pressure in the Super Bowl to, let's say, another game? And they're thinking, or Hines said, he can't remember the first half of the first quarter. He was so nervous of his first Super Bowl, which you might remember was Super Bowl 40 against Seattle. So the fact that the Pats have been here so many times and the Rams haven't, I think that edge in experience in this specific game is humongous.
Well, I mean, you think about Brady, who shall feel nothing going into this game. And Goff probably not being able to feel his legs or feet when he gets under center. Like, it has to be. It can be no other way. I mean, one guy is as young as they come and has never been there at all. And the other guy, Brady, he can literally feel nothing. He probably feels the same thing John Holmes, the porn star, felt on his 2000s porn film. Like, no. that much, that much
again,
that much adrenaline.
Right.
So, what's the schedule for you? Where do they put you? How long is it going to take? Are you going to the game, RJ?
No. So we're fine. I was here Monday, Monday through Friday with Fox Sports Radio, I tell you something, Adam. I know you're a radio guy historically, and, you know, I've always found most radio guys wish they were on TV, and then there's those handful of radio guys that love radio. Well, from what I see with the podcasts, and again, this is something you've pioneered, a lot like the iHearts of the world that own Fox Sports Radio and some of the other big groups are just making big commitments to audio. And the idea you can distribute it over the air, you can distribute it on Sirius XM and podcasts on demand. It just feels like audio is in a renaissance. We've got like a 500 square foot for Fox Sports Radio up above Radio Row with a bunch of screens and just a lot of money being spent. And that was not the case even a couple years ago.
I ran into Scotty Farrell from Farrell on the Bench.
Wow.
When
hey,
I went
buddy,
to
part of Goldwood.
He knew he talked hot sports because his microphone stand was a baseball bat.
That's right.
And a baseball bat. And he had the mic coming out of the end of it.
Hey, when you're Farrell on the Bench, you got to have a baseball bat, buddy.
Yeah, it's the funniest. It's the funniest thing in the world. Yeah, sorry. He used to pull me and Drew in there and everything. Sorry.
I was going to say, if Sour Shoes called up as Scotty, you think you could tell the difference?
No, I don't. I think if Brian, I thought Scott Farrell was in the room right now Brian was doing it. But that was always, if we,
Rack him.
He always got, he did, he was a hot sports guy in LA and beyond. And he was in our studio, the same building of Westwood One. And
sharp
he
was, dude, knows his stuff.
He was in the back. Yeah. And once in a while, if Drew and I got there more than 8 minutes early, we'd get sucked into his, hey, Farrell, I'm sorry, Dr. Drew, and he just
Farrell, the Bench, Barbacoa, buddy.
Yeah. So, RJ, give us your prop bet.
Okay, so I'm pretty strong lean on the Pats. And by the way, real quick on that, if you're good, if you like the Pats, bet it ASAP because you're risking it going to 3. Now, you're right, it could go to 2, though I don't think it will.
No.
But really, 2 doesn't mean all that much. 3 yeah. means a ton.
Yes,
if 2. If you like right. the Rams, it's the opposite, right? Wait and get a 3, and if it's 20 minutes before the game and you don't get a 3, then bet, you know, whatever number you can get. The
yes,
prop I like...
Yeah.
Oh, sorry about that, Adam.
No, I was going to say, I do, but I agree with you. It's going that way. It's going to go from 2.5 to 3, and there's no real difference between 2 and 2.5, but there is a big difference between 2.5 and 3. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I feel so proud right now. 2 years in, that was, you sounded very sharp right now.
Well, Gene invented that line.
I just said what you said.
She passed
yeah,
over.
I was trying to do a little Cyrano de Bergerac, but go ahead.
Well, so the prop I like is Patriots team rushing yards over 119. Now, this is a very common prop. How many yards is one team going to have rushing? And the Patriots, since they lost Josh Gordon, have been running two backs, fullback, running back, so much more. And the only team that does that in the league other than the Pats is the 49ers. And if you actually look at the two 49er games against the Rams, the 49ers were quite successful in those games running the ball. And Belichick loves to exploit weaknesses. So I think we have an analog, an analogous game or two with the 49ers games. I expect a lot of running from the Pats. I expect them to win the game, which leads to even more running. I like over 119 rushing yards Patriots.
Seems like a good – and what – on those prop bets, what kind of odds do you get? Like what do you get on this one? It's just
usually
ahead,
it's
going to
be -110, -110.
Right.
So it's just like you're betting, you know, -3, -110. It should be the same. Now, sometimes they'll adjust the vig to instead of moving the number. But with something like rushing yards, it's easier to move the number. So you'll lay a normal price.
Pregame.com is where you go. That's the website. Listen to RJ's podcast, Dream Preview. Look forward to talking to you after the big game, RJ, and getting all the getting your take on it.
And especially what, you know, Lunatic Fringe and Vision Quest. Mm-hmm.
Yes, I shall.
That discussion.
I shall watch both. Thank you, RJ Bell, or listen to one and watch the other. What about the Patriots? I was thinking a lot about white privilege. You know what's good white privilege?
What's that? Being a Patriot?
Being a fast white wide out in the NFL.
Okay.
You get the DBs see the white dude across like Chris Collinsworth like back in the day and go, well, that guy can't run.
Yes, you're 100% right.
I will play off him a little, or I'll get up and do a bump and run or whatever it is. The respect of, you got to respect this guy's wheels. He's going to go past you. You can't help it. Look, it's a two-way street over here. The brothers who play cornerback see the gangly white guy out there, and they go, well, he can't move too good.
He's not going to burn me.
That's white privilege.
Wow. You think this is humorous. I remember an interview, this is probably, 12 years ago, with Joe Giravicious. Remember Joe?
Sure.
Joe Giravicious.
He was a giant, right?
He's a Buccaneer.
Joe Giravicious was, God, did he ever get to Denver?
I don't know. He was a Buccaneer at the time.
Yeah, he was a Buccaneer, yeah, Joe Giravicious.
He was a white receiver. He was good. The interview, he basically was like, yeah, they see a white receiver. The defensive player said white receiver, and they let up a little bit. They don't underestimate you, basically is what he was saying. And it's true.
It's white privilege.
It is.
What are the positions in football that would happen in?
There's
receiver mainly because it's a one-on-one
matchup. That's a receiver thing.
Okay.
There is sometimes when you take the big sort of fire hydrant, jukebox, butt plug, white blocking fullback, and you put them in the backfield, and you get up on the goal line, and they're like, they're not handing it. They're going to sprint out, or they're going to do
they're going to
do a pick play or whatever. Every once in a while, they hand that guy the ball, and everyone's kind of surprised because he touches the ball 9 times a year, like he blocks. Mm-hmm. And when, on rare occasion, that guy does rumble out of the backfield on a pass play, he's always open. Because he's just, they're like, that guy's...
Don't worry about him.
I wish I could, speaking of racial profiling positions, I wish I could have gotten RJ's take on this. What do you think, Adam and Gina, what do you think there will be first in the NFL? Again, because it hasn't happened in many years. A white starting cornerback or a black place kicker?
Hmm.
Think about it.
Seahorn.
Not since the great Jason Seahorn, USC's own Jason Seahorn, dominant cornerback.
That's right.
Seahorn was very good.
I have an incredibly...
He was injured returning punts in the preseason.
That's what I was going to say.
On the Giants. Coach got a lot of crap for that. Like, come on, you take one of your star guys in the preseason and return punts, and that's what got him injured.
He married Angie Harmon? He married someone famous.
Angie Harmon.
Yeah.
He proposed on the Tonight Show or whatever it was.
Yeah. Right. He had he also had a crazy pick in the NFL.
Yes, the somersault.
He had like a crazy somersault pick.
I can watch Seahorn Nights all day, Chris, if you want to fire some
black black place kicker, white corner.
Starting corner. There can be a guy, you know, buried as a nickelback. I'm talking about, you know, hey, Antonio Brown, I got you.
Uh-huh.
I have an opinion on this, even though I don't know what a cornerback is.
Yes.
Okay. Soccer. Mm-hmm. Huge sport around the world. That's I imagine a lot of kickers, a lot of diversity, not a ton of white guys, you know, Hispanic or come from, you know, whatever. I would imagine there'd be a black kicker pretty easily.
There's a black punter.
There's a couple of black punters.
From a soccer background, I would imagine.
Reggie Roby was around a long time ago. We're looking at this crazy.
The defensive player in blue.
Pick. It's crazy.
And he takes you to the house.
Yeah,
that's a man.
Hard.
There goes a man.
He picked the ball off. He grabbed it when he was on the ground.
He batted
and that's allowed,
himself.
Right?
Yeah.
Wow,
the ground.
That was crazy.
You can do whatever you want. The end of an era. All right. I'll tell you about stand-up in a second. First, I'll tell you about BetDSI.com. Looking for a place to bet on the big game, sure. You can bet the big game, but you can also bet every play as well if you like. BetDSI has live betting throughout the entire game, played out to the final whistle. Also, bet on over 500 big game props. They're all there. God, they just keep going. Like, I wonder what year the first prop bet was made. We'll have to figure that
one out.
That's
a good piece of trivia right there.
Coin toss results, national anthem length, halftime show antics, and more. Join BetDSI.com today. Use the promo code SUPERADAM and get $25 free just for signing up. Plus 101% bonus betting money on your first deposit up to $1,000. That's promo code SUPERADAM. DSI.com. Get in on the action and get paid. All right. We'll take a quickie break. We'll come back. I'll tell you all about the trials and tribulations of my first stand-up special right after this.
Hey, it's Adam Carolla.
Hey, it's Eric Stromer.
Hey, it's kind of my thing.
Hey, I'm going to... All right, sorry. Hi, I'm Eric Stromer.
Let's not live in the past. You should listen to Ace on the House because me and Stromer dispense building advice every Saturday on Podcast One and Apple Podcasts.
I might even go as far as to say professional building advice.
Hey, get me some coffee.
There you go. Here I go. I'm running.
Ace on the House, every Saturday on Corolla Digital. Download now at AdamCarolla.com, the Podcast One app, and wherever you listen to podcasts. Ace on the House.
Hey, it's Adam Carolla. You may know him from putting his body on the line in Jackass, but now Johnny Knoxville is bringing you the wildest stories from the bravest folks he knows on his newest podcast, Pretty Sure I Can Fly. With his co-host, Elna Baker, they have incredible firsthand accounts from folks who surfed 100-foot waves, ride 600 miles per hour in a rocket sled, and wrestle crocodiles just for fun. They've been talking with brave souls who throw caution to the wind and push the boundaries of what humans are capable of. Or, as Johnny would say, they're talking to people who have more balls than a bowling alley. I'm Pretty Sure I Can Fly. Johnny and Elna bring you personal stories from unsung heroes that are part comedy, part adrenaline, and all heart. These are the inspirational, hold my beer stories that will make you want to grab the bull by the horns, literally and figuratively. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcast. You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly right now, early and free. Right now on Wondery Plus.
It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Hey, Adam. Since March Grandness was such a success last year, and since you've never been hit on by a gay guy, and you always say that's on your bucket list, maybe for 2019 you can do a Gay May, where all your gay fans call up and try to compete for your behemoth. Get it on.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
There's a hole in the bucket, dear Liza, there's a hole in the bucket that needs to be filled. And fill it, dear Willie, dear Willie, dear... What was that song
That's
from?
A song.
Yeah. I know it's a song, but was it from something?
Well,
it
was Dear Liza. Dear Liza, yeah. There's a hole in a bucket. Oh. Dear Liza, a hole.
Yeah.
With what can we fix it?
Yeah, but not. It's not
I
a.
Think it's just a thing.
It's just an old timey song. It's not like from a musical.
Oh no, very much not.
I'll say it's gay. I'll go ahead and say it's gay.
But you have to recognize genius when you hear it. And Gay May, not bad.
It's about not bad.
Not bad. I listen. I've been fantasizing a lot about that lifestyle lately, and a lot and. I'd be more than happy to entertain suitors. All right. So somebody tweeted me last night. Hey, what's going on with the stand-up special and why? Let's see. This is from, can't people have names?
Who cares? He says, can you explain on the pod why you're doing a theater release? Don't most sell to Netflix or similar outlet? Seems like a lot of pressure to fill the seats. And you said, yes, I'll explain.
The pressure's on you, Sepalik.
Whatever name that is. C-P-A-H.
Sepalk.
I-K.
Hate him.
All right. Anyway, I have these things in my life that I've oftentimes said they may fly in the face of one another. So I have a sort of, I'll do it myself, a kind of a downtroddenness about certain things, but I can also buy a $5 million race car. Mm. And I have a part of me that, like, if Olga, you know, if I'm like heating up some coffee at night or something and Olga says, you want me to bring it to the den? I'll go, no. I'll come get it. As a matter of fact, Olga will say, how come you don't let people take care of you? Like, just, I'll bring you in your tea. You're sick or whatever. You're watching TV. I'll bring this to you. And I go like, no. Just because that's my wiring is like none of this. Mm. I didn't get taken care of when I was a kid, so it feels weird or something. And I also feel like, who are you to tell her? She's doing something else. So I have that wiring. But I also have the buy super expensive car and go race it wiring. So and I don't know how they exist together. Mm. I have a super cheap thing. It's like, don't waste that. Don't throw it away. Everything. I'm so happy to have a dog. Because every time I walk into the kitchen sink in the morning and there's a half-eaten bowl of cereal that's all just milk that's sitting in there that Sonny ate, I take the bowl right out of the sink and I put it on the floor and I call Phil over.
If
I finish a yogurt, I take the container, which I've scraped clean with the spoon, and I still call Phil over and go, like, just lick it up,
buddy. Let the dog lick the container, whether it's tuna or whatever. He chases it around the room.
There's nothing that will get wasted at my house anymore because every single thing just goes to Phil. And just the fat of the meat of the juice on the plate with no more food on it still goes down. Like, I have that kind of wiring. So
the plate with the eggs, where the eggs used to be.
Same thing.
Go nuts.
So now, I have thoughts about things I do and then things I don't do or shouldn't do or won't do. And for some reason, a stand-up special was in the realm of you don't do stand-up specials. It's got the word special in it. You don't do that. You're a Corolla. We don't do that. That's for Chris Rock or Louis C.K. or whomever. Ricky Gervais, but not you.
Right.
And I grew up watching, you know, your Richard Pryors and your Steve Martins and
Carlin
and all that stuff. But that's not for you to do. You sit there and you kind of blab into a mic and then you go home.
You opine.
Right. So I never really thought about it. And then at some point, it came up famously when I was at a event about 10 years ago. and a guy who manages comedians and does all those things, like, came up to me and said, hey, you want to do a stand-up? And then I said, yeah, I want to do a stand-up.
Maybe a lot of butterfly knives. Like,
right.
Back off, I turf.
That's right. Butterfly knife. Pulled it out. And Baby Doll sort of didn't like this other guy who was kind of horning in on his territory and made it all go away. And then I had a thought, slightly defeatist, which is like, okay, well, there it was. You tried it, and the great magnet said, go away, and then it went away. And then it went away for like 6, 7, 8 years. And then at a certain point, it just kept kind of coming up again, and I thought, well, yes, why not?
Like, why not me?
You deserve. Why not me? Why not do a stand-up? And then also, the special, it became abundantly clear that all the comedians were using these stand-up specials as a modality to sell tickets. Mm-hmm. So if you take a guy like Bert Kreischer, Kreischer. I tried to turn it into a car. Like Bert, I think we had him in, nice guy. He was a, you know, sort of, I don't know, struggling stand-up comedian. And then he came up with a couple of stand-up specials on Netflix. Mm-hmm. Joe Coy's gone through the really thing. And then they started selling out all these venues. So it became like kind of like a commercial for your stand-up.
Yeah, promo special.
Now, even though Netflix paid you, in a way, you should have been paying them for your running your commercial for your stand-up. So I thought, all right, all these guys are getting paid a ton of money by Netflix. And I watched a lot of them, and some are better than others. And but I guess the conceit sort of seemed like, no, you do a stand-up special, shoot it, professionally shoot it, give it to Netflix, they buy it, then you have a commercial for your stand-up. So we just went out and we just did that. Did a couple shows at the Aladdin in Portland. Whacked it together. I took off, did some dates kind of in D.C. and wherever, Chicago and wherever, and just kind of warmed up into it, got to kind of act together. And we took it and had Nate film it. And it was one of those things where, you know, he did it right. He got the jib and the lighting guys and the camera guys and the makeup guy and the whole gal and the whole nine yards. And the economics of it was, it probably cost about $50,000 to shoot it with the crew and everything, and, you know, plane tickets and an Airbnb. I'll just stay in the same Airbnb and whatnot. But if you sell out a couple of shows in a theater like that, you might walk out of there with $40,000. So now you're sort of $10,000 in, but you have your stand-up special. Mm-hmm. And then you
small price pay for a stand-up special.
Right. They can cost hundreds of thousands to make, the ones that look good. And then we come back to the edit bay here, and we edit it up and whack it up and do all that. And then at some point it's finished, and now you have a stand-up special. So now we're just going to take it to Netflix, and they're going to buy it, and then they're going to air it, and then you'll have your commercial. And so we edited it, and we took it to Netflix, and we got a meeting with them, and we sat down, and the guy who does the buying said, my first favorite part is like when he's like, yeah, I saw 10 minutes of it. They do that all the time. And so he saw 10 minutes of it, and he didn't
is
seem...
Is it kind of like arbitration in sports where, like, you have to, the one side, even though maybe they like the player, maybe he's a valuable player, they have to kind of round down a little bit? Like, they kind of have to set the tone, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, watch 10 minutes of it.
They can't tip their hand.
They're about to lowball you, yeah. You know what I mean?
Like, I guess. I don't know. So they watched about 10 minutes of it and didn't seem particularly excited.
Because it's not a great position to come from for negotiation. Like, oh my God, Adam, the special was amazing. Whatever we're going to pay, it's a bargain. So what do you want for it? Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's not a great position to come from.
Right.
Sadly.
And I don't think, I didn't factor that in, but I don't think he was bluffing. Because later on, so he saw 10 minutes of it, which, by the way, could mean 4 minutes. Mm-hmm. I don't know what 10 minutes means. And then later I talked to Baby Doll Dixon, and Dixon's like, yeah, I talked to the guy, doesn't really seem that interested. And Dixon wasn't that interested from the get-go, as we know historically. So he did a sort of, so that's that.
He gave it a good try.
He gave it a good try, and we're moving on. And
she was talking to De Niro on Goodfellas.
Right.
We tried everything you could. That's that.
That's that. Now, what they probably don't realize is it's basically 8 or 10 years of work, of doing stand-up, of putting this thing together, of telling the story, of sort of shaping the story. It's very personal. It's also like it's 53 and a half years in the making.
It's a product. You know, yeah. It's a thing. You have this thing.
I have this thing. So Dixon's thing was sort of like, well, Netflix not interested, and I don't know who would be, but maybe. But
this is pep talk.
Such a good hype man.
Yeah, well, he does tell it how it is. I mean, like I said, the one time Lynette wanted to kill Dixon is for Laughs for Bald Brian. It's like the greatest
story.
It's the greatest story ever. It's like I was saying to I was recruiting, the Joel McHales and the bands and all the folks to fill up the Wilshire Bell Theater.
Correct.
And raise money for Bald Brian. I think the place is maybe 1,200 seats, 1,100 seats, something like that, 1,300 seats, 1,000 plus seats. And we were going to charge a premium, $100 a head or $250 for the front row or whatever. And we were going to try to raise some money for Bald Brian. And so I was like, I was calling all the usual suspects and all the bands and all the friends and all the whatever to do this thing. And Dixon caught wind that Kimmel was going, and he's like, "I don't want Kimmel going to the event for the guy with the brain tumor." And I said, "Why not?" And he said, "I don't want him to embarrass himself playing an empty theater." And I said, Why would it be empty?
Don't worry, Dixon, I'll be dead soon.
And he goes like, well, who's going to go? And I said, well,
fans.
My fans will go. Yeah, but really?
Yeah. What about the other half of the
and
house?
And I was like, well, yeah, I have fans, and then we'll get the word out, and then we'll sell the tickets, and then they'll go. And then he's like, yeah, I don't want Kimmel embarrassing himself in front of a half full house.
Wow.
And I was like, well, I don't know. Why is it half full? I don't know. Why?
That's a given. We've established it's half full.
I guess it's what you call a tell.
Yeah.
And Lynette wasn't pleased about this?
I guess if you're... yeah, she didn't like that. I didn't... I have no... People think I have high self-esteem or some self-esteem. I, of course, didn't. Yeah. I was like, we're going to sell the tickets. We're gonna move forward. But Lynette was not happy about that. But yeah, it was the equivalent of... There's a fat guy, and he starts reaching for a donut, and you go, you sure about that? Like, that's basically what he was doing to me.
Yeah.
And I was going like, yeah. And we ended up selling it out.
This is documented in a chapter of my New York Times bestseller book, Shrinkage. And the chapter is entitled, Baby How? Because afterwards, when you were like, remember, like, hey, Dixon, great news. We sold out the event. His answer, his response wasn't, hey, fantastic. We're going to raise a bunch of money for that dying kid. It was, baby, how?
How?
Did you buy it yourself?
Like, he was flabbergasted. It's good to have a kind of support in your corner.
Yeah. Well, as someone who was in the second row center for that show, that place was packed, and those seats were hard to get.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, to Dixon, I don't know. He gets that Jon Stewart, who's a client of his, is a stand-up, but he doesn't accept that part of my life.
He hasn't accepted that into his heart.
He's not chosen to digest that part of my career. Yeah. So he is sort of like the same posture toward the special as Brian's benefit, which is, I don't know why
Baby
you're doing
how?
This, but why would you do it?
You tried it. It's cute. Let's move on.
So he doesn't have a lot of energy toward it. Netflix has passed. I don't know. I'm not sure how Netflix works. It's an hour and, I don't know, 7 minutes long. We watched it.
It was great. We watched on the cruise.
It's funny. Brian's nodding. You should be audible if you want people to think you agree.
I was thinking about Dixon. still stewing. It's 10 years later.
It's funny.
It's very funny. They're killed at the on the cruise.
That's what...
Yes.
What is going on
really
over there, Brian?
About
really thinking about
I was
Dixon.
Stewing on Dixon.
It looks professionally done, and it's well lit. And I would say this: if you watched a bunch of Netflix stand-up specials, this one would fit right in. You'd have no reason to think it was any lesser, more, or anything different than what you might see on a Netflix stand-up special.
Yep. And one thing I thought of afterwards was for the fans, for the true Corolla fans, it's a huge just gift because you get all this extra stuff and you get all the, you know, the stuff that you love. Mm. But it's great for people who aren't in our little circle. It's not like you need to be a super fan to get the jokes. This show's for everybody.
Thanks. And so because we ran into our usual, and I don't, it's a strange business I live in, because it's a world where it's like, we're going to give Chelsea Handler $5 million for a special. And it's like, Adam Carolla, no offer.
Pass.
And I don't know why, but I don't really, I don't think it's based on the material. I think
not
if you,
interested.
I think if you saw anyone else's special, my special, you wouldn't think there was much difference between the two. And there might be some of you who think mine is even funnier. But that's the world we're living in. Not sure how it works, but that's just where we are. So what we decided to do is then do what we always do with everything all the time, which is just release it ourselves. And part of the releasing it is put it in X amount of theaters around the country for just like a one night.
Oh, nice.
Thing.
Yeah.
So the fans in 20 cities, February 27th, I'll do the Q&A here in Burbank, by the way. We'll do it up here. And you set up a screening in your hometown. And if you can get, you can get tickets at TUGG, that's TUGG.com. And the way it works is you get enough friends, family, and fans and whoever to buy a ticket, then they'll show it in your town and we'll just do it ourselves.
Awesome. Are they going to stream the Q&A? Or is that just private?
It's a good point. We should definitely capture it and figure out how to do it.
People would stay for that.
It's possible.
Yep.
I don't know. Now, should I talk to Dixon? Baby, why would people buy a ticket?
They're not going to stay after for another hour.
Who would go to the theater?
I mean, if you give them away, that's one thing.
I mean, can we stream it to their phone? They don't have to miss dinner?
So I just was looking last night, and the trailer was just like making the rounds on Twitter and Facebook and all that kind of stuff. So you get it, look at it, share it, and we'll do it for ourselves, and we'll see what happens, and why not just stay the course. Mm-hmm. All right. We have our guests here. We have – I'm looking up my stuff here. I had a weird, great the Great Magnet. So I don't talk about God or Allah or Jesus Christ or
Yahweh.
Karma or Yahweh or anything. But I will talk about the Great Magnet from time to time. And we spoke a week ago about James Brolin, mm-hmm. and did 10 minutes on him and all those movies that, you know, TV movies with Dobermans and James Brolin's coming in here and James Brolin's married to Babs and blah, blah, blah. And that same day, I was sent a picture from Les, my car guy. And now he's sending me pictures of old Datsuns or picture of Paul Newman or something like that. But he sent me this weird picture of a transport vehicle. And the transport vehicle was Paul Newman. It says it's a cube truck. And it says Ferrari on it, Budweiser on it. And it says you can enlarge it, Max Zapata. It's got a Ferrari 308 that Newman drove a little bit. It's got his he had a 2500 Rover. I always want to call it a Rover. It's something else. I'm sorry. And he showed me this picture, and I was just staring at it. Now, me and him, we never talk about it. It's always just sort of cars, race cars, Datsun cars. The side of this thing says drivers, Clint Eastwood, James Brolin. And he didn't send it to me with a circle around James Brolin. Like, he didn't send it to me like, hey, I heard the pod, heard you talking about Brolin. Just,
yeah.
This is more, he sent it to me because Paul Newman's name is on it.
Along with Gene Hackman.
Yeah, team manager.
Yeah, I was going to say.
So that's Hackman. This is, you know, circa 1976 or something. This is Gene Hackman, Paul Newman, Clint Eastwood, and James Brolin.
Oh, my God.
And
heavy hitters.
James Brolin's name's on the side of this truck that this Les just sent me randomly after us talking about James Brolin for a prolonged period of time. And he really didn't even care about the James Brolin or the Clint Eastwood or the Gene Hackman part. He cared about the Paul Newman part. So that's a weird great magnet, right?
I think you're destined to be BFFs with James Brolin.
Yeah, it's going to happen.
Yeah,
I want to talk to him all about racing a season with Paul Newman back in the day. Or we'll show him this picture and we'll figure out where the hell it, what track it was at and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, Paul had a triumph, by the
way.
What's
a team manager? Is that a ceremonial position? I can't imagine Gene Hackman did a lot of coaching.
The X's and O's?
I think it was kind of a goof, probably, that they had Gene. But Gene Hackman, Paul Newman, and Clint Eastwood at this period in 1977 were probably the three of the biggest stars on the planet quite easily. All right, let me tell you about stamps.com. Postage rates, they're going up. Save 5 cents on every first-class stamp and up to 40% off of priority mail with stamps.com. Never overpay or underpay again. Buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter, any package with your computer and printer. We use it here. See why over 700,000 small businesses use stamps.com. Right now, got a special offer for you. 4-week trial plus postage and the digital scale, which I think goes up to 80 pounds. So put anything on that thing and weigh it in. Go to stamps.com, click on the microphone, top of the homepage, type in Adam, get the postage, get the 4-week trial, get the digital scale, never overpay for stamps, never put on too many because you're nervous, get the exact right price, never go to the post office and wait in line again. That's stamps.com, enter Adam. All right, Lloyd and Peter from Epic Rap Battles. Hey, Max Paddock, give us some of the stats on these guys.
Okay, they're over 14 million subscribers on YouTube, and they're reaching 5 billion plays total.
What have you done for me? How does that work?
What have you done for me lately?
Baby, go and watch that.
Baby, how?
In a weird way, it is more insulting when people do why or how than even if they do no.
Yeah.
Like
they had to eat their words.
In a way, it would have been an upgrade if Baby Doll would have said, "That's never going to work." Versus, who would buy a ticket?
Yeah, like it's inconceivable.
Why was he channeling your mother?
I don't know how I find these people, but it's such a bizarre. It's a bizarre statement.
These are your advocates.
Yeah,
he stands to gain from your success. Yeah.
Well, this was a benefit, but
how?
Why?
In what world?
I don't know. I'll just say he's on the East Coast.
Yeah,
he doesn't know what's going on out here. But now let's prove them all wrong once again with the stand-up special, everybody. All right, we'll bring in Lloyd and Peter. Let's see. Alquist, am I saying that right?
Yeah.
And Shukov. Hope I'm saying that right as well. The creators of Epic Rap Battle. We'll do that next.
Thursday, February 7th at 10E in downtown Los Angeles, Corolla Drinks presents the 10E Booze and Book Club, featuring Ghost, My 30 Years as an FBI Undercover Agent, with author Michael R. McGowan. One of the cartel members we had arrested agreed to cooperate. Some of what he told us pointed to corruption at the very highest levels of the Mexican government. When we quickly relayed this very important news to FBI HQ in Washington, we were told to stand down. Because what we were pursuing, namely the links between the Sinaloa cartel and the Mexican government, were, in HQ's words, outside the scope of your original objective. February 7th at 10E. Come on out and enjoy a Mangria signature cocktail. Hear me read a chapter from Ghost and meet legendary FBI undercover agent Mike McGowan and his co-author Ralph Pizzullo. This event is free, but space is limited. Just click the registration link at adamcarolla.com.